God's gifted that young lady with a tremendous voice and such a wide range of just, I love to hear Amber sing. I really do. If you have your Bibles today, by the way, when I get tired, I get emotional. In case you guys don't know that, and I'm tired, so I may cry a little today, and I may be a little emotional. I don't have anything to pick on Christy about this week. I see. Let me remember. What did I read? I read a couple of things. Never mind. That's all right. Yes. I can tell where she's got plenty of time on her hands. She posts on Facebook a lot, and I read those things. All right. That's about as close as I get. Okay. All right. Amen. And it came to pass 453 times in the Bible that phrase is used. You know, a Christian friend of mine, it'll come to pass. It'll be all right. God will take care of it. Sometimes that worst disaster in your life is a stepping stone to where God wants you to be. That thing that you think is going to destroy you, that you'll never be able to take another breath, you'll never be able to take another step, and it came to pass. You know, it's amazing how God works in our lives. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. You say, why is that in there? You know, it's a little phrase, and what it does is it identifies the time, the period of time. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Back in those days, in order to pay your taxes, you had to go back to the place of your birth. Wouldn't that be something today? The way the world travels around and off, you had to go back. Wow, what a mess that would be. But they did that, and they had to identify themselves and pay their taxes. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. Because he was of the house and the lineage of David. Once again, it's identifying something. Joseph was of the lineage of King David. Just like the Bible predicted, the human father of Christ would be. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. If you write in the margin in your Bible or take notes, I'd encourage you. By the way, if you don't have a little notebook, there's a couple notebooks in the bookstore, sermon notebooks. I would encourage you to get something and write down the thoughts that God gives you. I have books in my library, and some of the ones that I treasure the most are my sermon notebooks. I just jot down things that God speaks to me about during the sermon. And every once in a while, I'll take one of those down and I'll just start reading. So I'd encourage you, write down, take notes somehow. Many of you do it on an iPad or tablet or whatever, maybe on your phone. Make a note. Here's a note for this verse. It says, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with, what's the word? Child. You put in the margin of your Bible something like this. God sees pre-birth as a child and not mere tissue. And all God's people said, amen. There's a reason why that word is there. By the way, if you look it up in the Greek language, the language that the New Testament was written in, it means child. Amen. It means child. So here she is. She's with child. Great with child. Ready to give birth. They're moving. They're going to the city to pay their taxes. And it says, and so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth, I'll get it right. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Apparently, they had reservations, but they didn't keep a room. Amen. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. By the way, the Christmas story is full of fear nots. The reason why is because unusual things are happening. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you, by the way, it's personal, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We're exactly 12 days from Christmas. Many of us are making sure that we have just the right gift for our loved ones. I've been thinking about the last couple of days. What am I going to get Tina for Christmas? See, men, we're fortunate. We really only have to think about one gift. Our wives, they take care of all the rest. But we have to think about just one. What am I going to get her for Christmas? I absolutely don't know. But years ago, there was an American Express survey, and they asked people, what was the worst gift that you could get? You know what the worst gift was? Fruitcake. Fruitcake even finished above no gift at all. That's how bad it was. And then they said, how would you get rid of a bad gift? 30% said they just hide it in the closet. Just keep it, hide it in the closet. 21% said they would return it. 19% said, we'll give it away. You know what that means? Re-gift. 76% of people, though, said they purchased something for themselves while looking for a gift for others. How many of you have ever done that? You've been out gift shopping, you thought, oh man, I really need that. All the time, the store people are like, yes, thank you, thank you. But the greatest gift has got to be Jesus. No other gift even compares. We see in this passage of Scripture the unspeakable gift. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. You know what he says? He says, words cannot even begin to describe. About 33 million Americans, American families actually, will purchase a live Christmas tree this year. Now put that in their home, and if they bought it really early, by the time Christmas gets here, most of the needles will be falling off. And the reason why is because people don't water them. The dogs drink all the water. If you're like me at my house, it's like, where'd all the water go? And look over there, Dexter's mouth is always wet. But I've been thinking this last week. Whenever you're running a machine, dumping big boulders into a rock crusher, you have a lot of time to think. You're just automated. And if I start turning a circle today, please just forgive me, all right? That's what I've done all week. Pick it up, put it in. Pick it up, put it in. But you have a lot of time. It's just your hands are operating, but your mind is kind of floating along. I've been thinking about this week some of the best gifts I've ever got. Some of the worst gifts. I won't tell you either one of those because some of those may come from y'all. And I was just thinking about the gifts, not who gave them to me. But I began thinking, what's the greatest gift? If the worst gift is fruitcake, which I think that's kind of outdated, now I think probably socks. Or anything that they sell on TV after midnight. You know, because my brother and I, we made a pact about let's see, we're in our 50s, both of us are. We made a pact about 30 years ago. And here's what we told each other. You don't buy me anything, and I won't buy you anything. If I want it, I'll go out and buy it. I don't need for you to send me something that I won't like. So that's worked out really well for us. I tried that with Tina. She's probably watching. I don't know. She might be sleeping. She, like I said, she didn't feel well this morning. And I told her, I said, you don't feel well, just please don't bring that. Don't give it. But one of our anniversaries, we were at the mall. And I asked her, I said, what do you want for your anniversary, for our anniversary? She said, don't give me anything. I said, okay. I realized later on that that was a sarcastic remark. It was not a factual statement of saying, hey, don't give me anything. And I have lived under this cloud for a long time because I took that as gospel truth. And I thought, okay, cool. The greatest gift is not found under a tree. The greatest gift hung on a tree 2,000 years ago. Let me give you a couple thoughts this morning. I need to touch my timer, don't I? Wendell, you should have reminded me. It says 18 minutes. Let's just start with that. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't shut down or anything. It just starts blinking. And I ignore it anyways. Number one, you taking notes? You ready? The greatest gift that we can ever have is the presence of God in our lives. The greatest gift. Here it is. Look at it in verse number 13. As these angels are proclaiming, it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Look at it in verse number 20. The shepherds had come and they had seen all of this. And in verse number 20 it says, the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. You know why they praised God? You know why they glorified God? Because they had been in the presence of God. You want to get your praise meter up a little bit. Spend time with God. Get in the presence of God. He was and is and always will be the Son of God. The Bible says he shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. John the Baptist said, and I bear record, I believe, I saw the Son of God. You know, he's saying I was in his presence. People are never the same whenever they get in the presence of God. He was the Son of God when he was born. And throughout the Scriptures, he's indicated as being the Son of God. He is the living God today, not a dead God. He's a God that's still alive. He's someone that you and I can communicate with on a regular basis, no matter where we're at. The Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. And may I add, soon coming again. May we be ready. For in Him, Paul writes to the church at Colossae, he says, for in Him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know what he's saying? He's the Son of God. He's the living God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. You say, who is that talking about? Jesus, the living God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word was made flesh, Jesus, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. May I present to you today that Jesus is the living God. He was manifest in bodily form. Whenever He walked on this earth, by the way, that's probably the greatest miracle. People ask all the time, what was the greatest miracle? And you can go through all kinds of things. Probably the greatest miracle ever was that God became man. He is God with us. The Bible tells us in several places, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel means God with us. Have you ever thought, well, I really need God now? Have you ever been in a place that you thought, I just need God with me? Have you ever prayed before and sensed that God was there? That you were right there, that God... How many of you ever prayed before and felt like that you were a million miles away from God? Well, that happens sometimes. By the way, that's just a feeling. That's not reality. You're never a million miles away from God. And all God's people said, you may sense it. You may feel like it. I believe oftentimes that's the devil just trying to fool us. I feel like sometimes that's just my nature trying to say, oh, you're too sinful, you're too bad, you're whatever. God knows how bad I am. He knows how sinful I am. Yet He still loves me. And He indwells me. So if He's inside of me, how can I be a million miles away from Him? I can't. But sometimes my heart gets cold. Oh, God, give us a tender heart again. You say, how do I get that? The presence of God. Note here, these angels, the angel of the Lord is talking to the shepherds. And one of the things I was thinking about this week and I was reading it, where's it at again? There it is. Verse number 12. Now this is the angel of the Lord is just talking to the shepherds, and I don't know what they're doing. He had to say fear not to them because apparently they were afraid. And notice he's talking. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, it was almost like he couldn't even complete a sentence. It was almost like the angel of the Lord is talking to the shepherds, and then, boom, the sky is filled with other angels. The sky is filled with the host of heaven. It's like they couldn't handle it anymore. They couldn't wait anymore. They heard Him talking, and all of a sudden, suddenly, without indication that it was coming, suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude. You say, how big is a multitude? A bunch. Apparently, it filled the whole sky. A multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, how could they praise God? Why were they praising God? Because they were in the presence. Those shepherds, they came and they saw that little baby in a stable of all places. They saw a young mother, a young father, and they didn't see any earthly possessions, you know, great riches or wealth. There wasn't really nothing particular about this baby except for it was a baby and it was Jesus, it was God in the flesh, and they're looking at it, but it made a difference in their lives. They went away praising God and glorifying God and telling others. Why? Because the gift of God is the presence of God in our life. You want to know what the greatest gift is? It's Jesus. And it's the presence of God in my life and in your life. Number two, not only do we see the gift of the presence of God, but may I say that God gives us the gift of the peace of forgiveness. How many have ever held a grudge at somebody? I have both hands up in there. And that's not even enough. How many of you ever experienced the relief of forgiveness whenever you gave it to somebody? Just, what's the song? Let it go. I can't stand that song. Now it's rolling around in my head. I'm sorry. I hate I even said that. Let it go. Amen. I remember I whistled, brother, when it came in. See, it sounds okay here, but it doesn't translate properly. Have you ever wronged somebody and had them forgive you? There's a peace sitting there. But a friend of mine, can I tell you something? That peace is nothing compared to having and knowing the peace with God. Look at it in verse number 9. The Bible, as the angel of the Lord comes upon the shepherds, it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I wonder what the glory of the Lord looks like. Apparently, it's a rather bright light. Could this be the same bright light that indwelt the tabernacle in the wilderness in the Old Testament, and maybe the Shekinah glory there in the temple? Just the glory of the Lord. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So we see that he's talking about who this is going to be. If you look at words and underline words in your Bible, look at it in verse number 11. For unto you, that's personal, by the way, not them, not us, but to you personally. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? What's the word? Savior. Savior. To save us from the penalty of our sin. The word Savior indicates that Jesus will be our deliverer, our forgiving one. By the way, only God can forgive someone of their sins. Man cannot. Because you didn't sin against that man, you sinned against God. Forgiveness is the gift of God. There is obviously a great emphasis on gift-giving this time of the year. I read a story a while back about a little boy. His name was Brian. Brian wanted an Apple Watch for Christmas. He repeatedly asked his parents for a watch over and over again. He asked for a watch so many times that finally his parents said, if you ask again, you're not going to get it. We don't want to hear you ask anymore about a watch. Within a day or two, they were getting ready to eat the meal. And the father asked the little boy, Brian, said, will you pray for our meal? And the little boy said, yes, sir. But before I pray, can I quote a verse? And the dad said, of course. And he said, it's found in Mark 13:37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Oh, Jesus is God's gift. Amen. That's probably the only thing you guys remember about the whole thing. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal. She shall bring forth a son, and she shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Savior. If all you know about Jesus is he's your Savior, that's enough. That's just the beginning, but that's enough. Jesus was accused on several occasions of being all kinds of different things, and he looked at a man that was crippled. Jesus said, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. You know what he's saying? I have the power to do it. There's a certain peace that comes with the realization that your sins have been forgiven. There's a certain peace that whenever you confess your sins to God, that he forgives you. In fact, if you read through these verses, you see the phrase Savior. And then in verse number 14, when the multitude, the heavenly host, shows up, they say, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace. I'm not talking about the false peace that some of the politicians and others are talking about. There's never been peace in our world, and there never will be until Jesus reigns. But can I tell you something? In the midst of unbelievable unrest and turmoil, no matter what's going on in your life, you can still have peace. You can have that calm, resting assurance that says, you know what? God's going to take care of this. Forgiveness is the key to peace. I was looking for a verse today, and I found this one. Listen as I quote it. It's found in 2 Corinthians 13:11. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. This is the second letter that he's written to them. This is a letter really of praise. But he writes at the end of it, 2 Corinthians 13:11, he says, "Finally, brethren, farewell." He said, "Be perfect. Be of good comfort." Listen to this. "Be of one mind. Live in peace." You know what he's saying? Be of one mind. Forgive. "And the God of love and peace shall be with you." You want peace? Learn to be a quick forgiver. When you forgive, get this, you relinquish all rights to ever bring it up again. That's tough, isn't it? That's tough. You say, how do I do that? You can't. But God can do it through you. Let me give you an example. Whenever you ask for forgiveness from your Heavenly Father, He never brings up that sin again. When He forgives you, you know what He does? He relinquishes all right to ever bring it up again. Can I tell you something? One of the greatest gifts that we can have today is the gift of the peace of forgiveness. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So He sent a Savior. What a mighty God we serve. The greatest gift under the tree. Number three. The greatest gift under the tree is the gift of His presence. He's with us. The greatest gift under the tree is the gift of the peace of forgiveness. The greatest gift under the tree is the promise of eternal life. Look at it with me in verse number 32 and verse 33. Chapter 1, just go back a little bit. Verse number 30, the angel's talking to Mary. And in verse number 32, notice what he says. "He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." Note this last little phrase. "And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Think of this thought today. For as long as God lives, I will live. As long as God lives, I will live. Eternal means without beginning, without end of existence. It means perpetual, everlasting. Eternal life is available only through Jesus Christ. There should be no end of His kingdom. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Eternal life is found in Jesus. Eternal life is the gift of God. Jesus is sitting on a well in John chapter 4. He's in the middle of Samaria, a place where Jewish people did not go because of the extreme racial prejudice, racial hatred between them. Jesus broke down all those barriers. By the way, Jesus will break down every barrier we have. But He went, sat on the well. A woman came. A woman whose life had not turned out like she had hoped it would. Jesus began a conversation with her. And in that conversation, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he shall have given to thee living water." You know what He's saying? There's a gift available. Eternal life is a gift. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." We often quote Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And in verse number 8 it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Only God can give you the best gift of life. Read a story about a man that came across a collection of letters that children had written to Santa Claus. One said, "Dear Santa, you did not bring me anything good last year. You did not bring me anything good the year before that. This is your last chance." Signed, Alfred. Sometimes we're disappointed with human gifts. But you'll never be disappointed with the greatest gift. God gives only good gifts. Did you get that? God gives only good gifts. And His greatest gift is salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. The question is this: have you received it? I don't know how many gifts are underneath our tree right now. It's quite a few. Wrapped up nice. By the way, my mom, I told her, I said, "I have an empty suitcase," because I took gifts down to them. So I have an empty suitcase. "And if you want to save on some postage, just put some of the gifts that you're going to give the grandkids in that suitcase, and I'll carry it on with me." In case you don't know this, you cannot go through security with a 32-ounce bottle of bubble bath wrapped, because whenever the TSA agents ask you, "Is this yours?" "Yes, it is." "What is in it?" And you look at them like, "I don't know." The man said, "So someone gave you something to carry in your suitcase onto an airplane, and you don't know what's in it." You know what I was thinking? I'm going to jail. Because of a dumb gift that my mom put in my suitcase for somebody else. You know what I'm thinking? That, from now on, is going to be the worst gift that that I can ever imagine. Fortunately, a man had mercy on me, and he said, I tell you what, let's just open it and see what it is. I thought, praise the Lord, because I just did not relish the fact of spending the next 32 years in jail for bubble bath on an airplane. What's the worst gift you ever received? But what's the best gift you've ever received? I've thought a lot about this last week. And I've thought about the gift. One of the young men that I had seen, young men, actually he's almost as old as I am. He's a man that is always around through the years. He's simple. He's not all there mentally. He's a hard worker. He looked at me this week and he said, you know, Jeff, he said, I remember whenever you became a Christian and how it changed your life. And I thought about that a lot this last week. And I thought, thanks for his unspeakable gift. Are you saved today? If not, today can be the day. It does no good just leave that gift under the tree. You've got to unwrap it. You've got to accept it. You've got to receive it. If you are saved today, have you spent time in His presence? Is there a praise? If not, maybe today's a day where we ease back into the presence of God. Maybe you need the peace of forgiveness. I don't know. But I believe God spoke to our hearts today. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.